What's going on, guys? I'm here with my two good friends, Varghese Antony. Go ahead.
Hello.
And Jonathan Lunn.
What's up?
And we're excited. One of you guys go ahead and introduce what we're doing.
All right, guys. So this is Varghese speaking. We're doing a little bit of a car podcast. We're going to call it 9-1. Maybe Jonathan, you want to touch up why we call it 9-1?
91 is the highest octane you can get in California, and we're all based in California, so this is just an allusion to that. Otherwise, we would call 93, but I like 91.
Each week, we're going to be discussing a new topic, and we're each going to be bringing our own cars, our own ideas to each segment, and we're going to critique each other's and talk about each other's picks. We're going to be discussing our own topics here in the beginning, but we also want to transition into discussing things that you guys suggest us to talk about. Yeah, we're bringing you guys the highest octane car content that we can do.
I like that.
For today's video, this was kind of our harebrained idea. We're going to go ahead and start with our new car category. And we're picking cars that you can buy new now or that are lightly used that you think will appreciate in value. So I want to go ahead and let Jonathan kick this off.
The GT86. All right. Hear me out. Hear me out on this. This car is relatively new. Right? All right. 8 years has been on the market already. Now I see this car. I see this car as the next Nissan 240SX. These things are going to be everywhere right now, but as soon as they is given the axe, this car is going to appreciate in value. You're going to have a hard time finding a clean one. This is so easy to modify because of the front engine, rear drive nature of it. I've seen engine swaps on it, K swaps, Ferrari engine, LSV8s, you know, anything you can put in the front, you can make it work. This chassis is simple. There's not that many electronics like safety or anything. So it'll appeal to a lot of tuners, a lot of modders, and yeah.
All right.
I'm going to say I disagree. I mean, I agree with the point. Okay. I agree with the point that you can go buy this car right now and you can tune and do whatever you want with it. I mean, it is pretty much an extremely blank slate that you can do whatever you want to it. I think for that, it's going to be really popular. But like you said it, it's got to get the axe first. And I don't see this thing getting the axe at all for a good while, especially considering that Toyota is really pushing nowadays to be more sports oriented, or at least have somewhat of a focus on sports, especially with the Supra out now and a couple of the TRD Camry. That's, you know, we would have never thought about that being a thing, and it is now. But I think this car's got to get the axe first, but I don't think it's ever going to get the axe, at least in a meaningful time frame where this thing can just shoot up in value. But I will give you, it is a great pick for a very good driver's car, for as a first kind of driver's car that you can tune and do stuff to yourself.
Yeah, I could definitely see that in maybe 10 to 15 years, people are going to be looking at these. And I kind of agree with you, Jonathan, but I don't really see it appreciating in value. I kind of see this as maybe an MR2 in today's market, where, you know, you see a nice one, you notice it, but it's nothing really that you're going to write home about. And I just think that it's because it's not powerful enough. I do enjoy the car. It is a good car. I just don't know if it's going to command higher prices later on, because like you said, it has to get the axe first. And I think that Toyota is going to keep this car as kind of a, you know, peppy little four-cylinder, naturally aspirated. Possibly they might turbo it. Maybe they're talking about it. But I just don't see, unless it's got a really hot motor or something changes in the future, I don't know if it's going to command a higher price.
And man, this is a high risk, high reward one. All right.
Okay, high risk, high reward pick.
That's what I'm doing.
Marguise, let's see your pick.
Okay, here we go. All right. Okay. Now you guys are gonna think this might be a little ridiculous, but hear me out on it. Is the LC500 from Lexus? Now, I know, first impressions, there's no way this is going to be a feature classic because it's expensive. But look past the price, right? If you're in the market for something like this, right, I would consider this a serious, as a serious proposition. Value-wise, yeah, it's going to go anywhere from 90 to about 120,000. But take a look at it, right? I think what's going to make it a classic is kind of what happened with the Aztec. And most cars that were kind of an ugly duckling when they showed up.
Not so strange there, buddy.
Yeah, it is. But look, this is I think it's just polarizing enough to be worth a second look. And what's more important for car guys and car gals, if you take a look under the hood, it is a V8 engine. You can get this with a V8 engine. And we're in a time where that is almost impossible to find at this point. People are opting for V6 twin turbos, and V8s are kind of a dying breed. So that's going to be the theme of my picks today. But the big thing about this is, yes, it's a little expensive, but it's a Lexus. It's got the LFA kind of spiritual, you know, thing going on inside as well. It's got the digital dash. And it's got that V8 engine. So
okay,
that's where I kind of – you can't tune it like you can John's car, but this is kind of like that you leave it clean, you reap the rewards later.
Okay, right. Go for it, Jonathan.
It's interesting that you brought up the Aston Martin, because I remember when this car came out, Motor Trend compared the Lexus LC500 to an Aston Martin – forgot what it was, Vantage probably. Right. And how it diverged from the style of a typical GT cruiser. I remember them saying – the high point of the hood on the Lexus is near the windshield, while on a typical GT car, it's on top of the front wheel.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it crazy, right? It's the style of it.
Right. It's like funky.
Right. The problem with this is it's a Lexus, right? You're not many people are going to say, oh, I kind of want this Lexus right here, this LC500. You know, it's another one of those models, like, they just put it in their lineup, right? It's like, with the LFA, that was, like, their halo car. You could tell it was a halo car because it was just so different. But this one, they kept, like, the same naming moniker, like, the LC and then a number behind it. And I don't know if this is going to be, like, you know, they're going to sell enough for it to be, like, readily available. And the people who do take it are just, like, just going to keep it and drive it.
Okay. I see your point.
When I see this, it does look futuristic. They did take some risk in terms of the styling. I think it looks good. I'm getting Audi TT vibes. When you see one now, right, it's really nice. You know, there was a bold stylistic choice. I see that in this car. But in terms of market value, I see it kind of as a specialty BMW type of vehicle, you know, maybe an M5, M3, where the retention of value is there. But I don't think that enough people are going to buy these and modify them to see an appreciation, I guess you could say. I think that it'll hold its value very well, but you know, the thing that's going to set these apart are probably the really clean, low mileage ones. I can imagine people that have these drive the snot out of them, but it is a Lexus V8 at the end of the day. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, that's fair points. So, I mean, that's two or three. We're waiting on yours now, Raj.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to share mine with you guys. Now, this is going to be kind of a right now pick, a 2020 pick.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be the Toyota Tacoma.
No.
TRD Off-Road TRD Sport Access Cab V6 3.5 liter with a 6-speed manual transmission. Now, before you say anything, they axed the Access Cab with the manual transmission, 4-wheel drive, TRD Sport, TRD Off-Road. So if you want an Access Cab Tacoma in any iteration, any drivetrain, any trim level, it's going to be an automatic. And I think that Tacoma is really steering away from the recipe that made the pickup great. We can talk about that in another video. I think the Tacomas retain their value, but in terms of appreciation, clean ones of these in 10, maybe even less years are going to really hold their value. And I think they're going to command a premium compared to their automatic counterparts.
Okay. I'm gonna say something. I know I'm supposed to talk trash about this. However, I got to tell you as somebody who used to sell Tacomas as an ex Toyota salesman, I have to agree. To be honest, I thought I would disagree when you showed me on the screen, but I do have to agree. Like a lot of people come in and they look specifically for an Access Cab 4x4 that, and everybody that I met that wanted a Tacoma wanted a manual, and they just didn't exist because the ones that do exist pretty much immediately get purchased as soon as they hit the lot, sometimes even before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would actually agree with this pick because like you said, like Tacomas are one of those rare vehicles that just hold their value. But I think if in this configuration, specifically a TRD Sport, that, you know, cause the TRD package comes with a lot of options that people want, but it doesn't go over the top like the TRD Pros do. Mm-hmm. And the price is there as well. So I do think I agree with you on this. Actually, I think it's a great pick.
All right,
man. What about you, John? That leaves just you, John.
Dude, you picked the hard one. Holy, I don't know what I can say about this. I mean, it's one of the best selling midsize pickups. Yes. And finding a manual transmission. Yeah. It's going to be hard again. I don't know, man. This is such a good pick. A Toyota Tacoma with a manual transmission.
I can't believe
especially with manual transmissions going out, anything with a manual is probably going to like rise in value later
mic
on.
Mic drop.
So Raja really just picked the one that we all agree with. No quarrels here.
I don't know, man. And like, it's just so like, when you think of a midsize pickup, what do you think of? You think of Tacoma? And that's pretty much it.
Tacoma, yeah. Right. I can't believe that. I'm a little.
Yeah, I can't believe.
I want to. You know what? Now I want to see what your sub six category is.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's move on to our sub six category, and let's let Jonathan kick it off this time again with our sub six category.
So for this category, we were thinking of like cars that are something you can't buy brand new, something that's like used and it will like keep its value or still appreciate, right? So what we just discussed before was our like brand used car that you can buy, but now we're going to our used cars. And I think, let me take you back to the days of the 1990s where you got, you know, a bunch of sports cars, little hatches, and you know what, Honda, you know, made some of the best sporty small cars. And something they just did recently that, I know it's what we said under six, but this is, I decided to go under 10.
Oh, so you're going to be the price pusher, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to be the price pusher. But I mean, Let's see. Is getting there, but I think this car right here, the Honda CRZ.
No, get it off the screen.
This was one
get
of
it
my
off the screen.
See, the really? Honda CRZ, I think what this car is going to raise in value later. This thing had it's a hybrid engine, 1.5 liter, right? 1.5 liter hybrid engine with a 6-speed manual.
No.
What other car can you say it's a hybrid with a 6-speed manual?
This car
has the like this design flavor.
But you know what?
Old Honda CRZ, CRX.
You know what, John? I'm looking at it and I noticed the one you pulled up here is right-hand drive.
Exactly.
How many were made in the U.S.?
I don't know about that number. Let me search that up. You guys trash on this.
Go for it, Burgies.
The only thing I have to say about this is, right, the CRZ, I don't know what to think about it. See, when you think about hybrid, it's kind of pioneering if you think about it that way. So I'll give John credit for that because a 1.5 six-speed hybrid, the only other hybrid you think about when you think about hybrids nowadays is a Prius, which is the opposite end of anything we talk about on this podcast. So when you think about a CRZ, especially considering they actually had race going versions in Japan, that raced in, you know, like GT series. I don't know. I'm kind of warming up to it. I could see where this, but how much does it cost though? They're What's the price range?
7-8 for a good one.
Yeah, 7-8 Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's really not that bad. I feel like
it's really not that bad.
A clean one. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I have to say, I might be a little frustrated.
There was also an option later on for a supercharger that you can put onto the engine. Wow. So
I'm going to go ahead and hop on the mic here. When I was in the market for a new car in 2016, they still had 2012s on the lot of this vehicle.
Really?
And I really had thought about it, but I never really went through with it. I think that this car is really pioneering, and it really showed Honda's, I guess you could say, pursuit of pushing the envelope, because this was something that wasn't, when you thought of a hybrid, you didn't think of a hybrid sports car, and that was the sales slogan, the hybrid sports car. And it gets about 29 miles to the gallon. It's probably not great in today's standard. But I think
it's good for the time.
Yeah, enough people forgot about these for them to really make a resurgent comeback, especially in today's day and age in terms of, you know, saving the planet and fuel economy. I think that this is a great pick. This was one of my picks, actually, and I just glossed over it. So no qualms with me. I think we should go ahead and jump to Varghese's budget pick now.
Okay. My pick was the Crown Victoria.
Oh my god.
Ford Crown Victoria. I have a serious little bit of history with this car. Now, okay, you look at it and you think, all right, that's an old police cruiser. That's all it is. However, it is possibly one of the most reliable vehicles made, period. And the really cool thing is it's got a V8 engine. I told you guys that would be a theme for my picks today. But this
has man, it is V8 engines, man.
It has a V8 engine. But think about it. I call it the American 2JZ because they already have the police interceptor package, which gave it a boost. It can run idling forever if that's what you wanted to do. But it can handle a lot, and they reduce the wheel weight. So it would actually scoot if you let it. But the other thing is parts are cheap, if not free, for this thing. You can pick anything off a junkyard, especially if you live in the kind of Rust Belt area, the eastern side of the United States, where they use these things for almost everything, like taxi cabs. Parts are pretty much free. You just pick them up wherever you like, left and right. And these go anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 at the moment. So they're sub six. But the nice thing is their reliability, the V8, it's all kind of a good package to the point where it actually recently saw a spike in price. I think it used to be like 3,000 and below. And some people could even pick them up for $500, considering you have to do a lot of work. But nowadays, the average is about 3,500. So I think, considering, like I said, in an era where V8s are dying, this is something serious. Also, Koenigsegg, their first car, used this motor, the same engine. They purchased it from Ford and they tuned it up, and it ended up being, the kind of starting car to what we know as Koenigsegg today. So it can really handle the power. Hence why I call it the American 2JZ.
All right, I'm gonna kick this off right here, and I'm gonna kick you right in the pants.
Oh my god!
Because I think that this car has plateaued in value, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because a lot of people didn't think about this as a fun car to buy, but I think the donut medias of the world and people that push content with these have really popularized them, and I think that the clean ones out there are just getting scooped up right now. And I just can't. Okay, put yourself in that position. Would you pay more than four? Okay, would you pay more than six for this car? I wouldn't personally. You can get so much more car for six than this. I think it's a great pick for right now, but I just can't see it going higher than what it's at.
But Raja, V8.
This man is cylinders, man.
John, why don't you
he just wants more cylinders. All right, the problem I have with this is just there's just so many out there. All right. When you're driving this around, you just look like you're either people are either scared because you look like a cop,
right?
Or they're just like,
that's part of the fun. You can speed, and nobody will know. Nobody will care.
Yeah, well, like the thing is, it's like it'll never get away from like the moniker it has as like as a cop car, right? That you see these true. One, you see one of these around, you're just like, fuck, it's a cop. Wait, no, it's not. Is it? I don't know. But like. It's like that, right?
I thought of that as a positive. But I do hold okay. I want to get two things clear.
Like
it is very ugly. It's ugly and it's pretty heavy.
Oh, we agree on that. Oh, okay.
We agree on that. I'm just in it because first of all, there is a hidden, I call it hidden, a hidden fun factor in that people do think you're a cop and nobody you kinda get away with speeding. You actually get to use the V8.
See, I don't think it's gonna like but this car, I don't think it's going to rise in value a lot.
But yeah, I mean, I can see Roger's point, yeah.
There's just so many out there, like, used as cop cars and such. Like, you could have, I don't know if you could have bought one off the lot. Like,
that's true. Off the lot. I will say, to Roger's point, that is this car's one kind of Achilles heel, is that because they were used, so many of them were service vehicles, to find one with low mileage, mm-hmm. is kind of easy, but to find one with low engine hours
right
is pretty much impossible.
Yeah. And then you get into that, you know, if you can pick one up for, you know, three now, right. but you're going to end up having to put, you know, another three into it. Me anyway, right. I think it's a solid pick. I respect it, but I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. Mm. And I'm going to go ahead and pull up my pick right here.
Oh, it's my God.
The 2003
no.
Pontiac Vibe GT.
Oh, my.
He pulled a sneaky on us.
Which, as we all know, is a Matrix in a disguise.
Yes. But
the special thing about this particular Pontiac is it has the 2ZZGE, which Kawasaki helped Toyota design a high-revving, naturally aspirated four-cylinder.
Roger, you're wrong. It's Yamaha.
Oh my gosh, it's Yamaha. Okay.
Dude, this guy doesn't know his cars.
Okay. All right. I know it's high revving. Okay. It revs at 8,300 RPM, which is like pretty much the same as an AP2 S2000 if you think about it. And I think especially in the Pontiac iteration, nobody really expects these. And if you could scoop one of these up, I think that it will appreciate in value. I think that my pick also coincides with the Corolla XRS as as the Matrix XRS. And I think it's a solid pick. It's a really sneaky daily that you can drive that's really reliable and it'll be a lot of fun.
So how much is the Pontiac? How much does it go for? That 2003 Pontiac. Can we get the picture again?
Okay, let's get that. I think they go from anywhere from about 4 to 5.
Okay, here's right. what I
wait, 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 wait. Let me start this.
Okay, let's
hear from hold it. Let me start. All right, the problem I have with this car, you specifically, I will tell you, I actually wanted a Matrix XRS, hot hatch, sporty car. All right, I expect that. The problem with the Pontiac is it's the same problem it has with the Saab 9.3 or whatever it was, the one that had the WRX.
The WRX. The 9.2X Aero.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Like, nobody even remembers it. Like, people will just think it's just like, oh, it's just another WRX dressed up as a Saab, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be the same thing with this Pontiac. It's like, oh, it's just a Toyota Matrix dressed up, you know?
But I'm going to kick in here. I'm going to say, at first, okay, when the picture came on the screen, I thought, why wouldn't I just go ahead and get a Toyota Matrix? But think about this, for better or for worse, value in a vehicle is also a big part of it is the how rare it is. How many Pontiacs exist now? I mean, it's not even a company anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And to rebuttal what you said, John, you know, it's really just under disguise and not a lot of people know about it. I think that's a good thing. Not a lot of people know about it.
Let me just put another point. Mm-hmm. The GT as well as the XRS,
yeah.
as true driver's cars should,
mm-hmm.
only came with a 6-speed manual transmission.
Oh, see, I mean, okay. When you throw that in there as well, like think about this driving down the street. Yeah, it's sleeper. I mean, if you blinked, you would miss it. But if it was, you know, somewhere around you, sooner or later, you would kind of notice and you'd be like, what is that? It's a Pontiac. Okay, but what kind of, what is it? And yeah, it's a sleeper. It's, I think everybody should have a sleeper somewhere in their rotation. And this is, I got to say, this is a pretty solid pick. I would have, you know, I would have said, give me the Toyota version. But considering that this is far more rare, I would go with this. I could see the value proposition here. And it's four doors.
Yeah, it's a hatch. Yeah. We're getting into that crossover territory. But all right, guys, in an interest of keeping this short and sweet, I hope we really brought you guys some fun content. I think we all had fun, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was excited about the picks that I saw today. Good job.
Now we pitch the question to you, our yes. viewers. What is your pick for an appreciating car that you would buy new or used? And tell us in the comments below or on our socials that we will edit in later.
Yes.
Yes.
These are your 91 hosts, and we'll see you at the pump next time.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Well, that was fun, guys. Raja here. We pushed the question to you all. What do you want to hear us talk about? Feel free to reach out to us at 91_podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know your picks. What would you choose for our topic today? And also, let us know what you think about our picks. Again, this is 91 Podcast, and we'll see you at the pump next time.